Hey, this is Tarek from Optic Gaming, and I'm listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 113? Is that right?
Sounds right. Sounds good, actually.
All right.
Friday the 13th is coming up. Episode 113.
That's what we'll go with. Episode 113 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, July 12th, 2018. The time, 7:57 p.m. Central Standard Time. I will be one of your hosts into this journey of esports. Hello, my name is Tim. Alongside me, as always, we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
How are you guys doing?
And we have Brett.
Hello, guys.
Wow. Abusing that new mic.
What?
I don't know. Just singing that bass.
I'm all about that bass.
All about that bass. We do have the best episode ever. Because we got some Overwatch League playoffs. Overwatch League is back. It feels like it's been gone forever, and it has returned for the playoffs. So we will discuss that. A little bit of the quarterfinals, what happened last night, what you can expect for the weekend. ESL Cologne happened as well, one of the biggest Counter-Strike tournaments of the year that's not a major. And as a big Counter-Strike tournament goes, all the rumors follow it. So we will dive into some of those. We'll see which ones we want to discuss, which ones we want to be paid attention to. But before we get into all that, be sure and follow us on all the social media at The Center Ring on Twitter, our website, tcr.gg, and join our Discord and all that fun stuff that all the kids are doing. I forget anything?
Sounds like a lot on our plate today, doesn't it?
I think that's it. Oh, and of course, we got e-news at the end, as always. But for now, let's get into some Overwatch League, shall we, gentlemen? Because as I mentioned, it did start just while the playoffs started yesterday, I should say. And you have Philadelphia versus Boston, London versus LA Gladiators. They are in their game one of their best of three series. I'm going to start off right off the bat. I don't get the schedule. I don't get the format. I'm confused.
Yeah, it's totally weird. Like you play one game, you're off a day, and then you play again, and then like Saturday is not really like prime time. It's at 3 o'clock, you know, like in the afternoon. So I mean, but that's kind of par for the course in their first season. A lot of stuff just doesn't make sense.
Now it works out for us. It worked out for us because originally we were going to record on Tuesday to try to do a quick little full-on preview before any quarterfinal started. But then we were going to record last night, but then we decided, well, we might as well just hold off and talk about it after the first games. That way we can kind of preview the weekend and go from there. Also, as I tweeted out, we had some personal matters get in the way to where we had to push off the show. And if you must know why we had to delay the show, Anuj's wife put my wife into the hospital. So
it's true,
and I'm true. Not even joking about that. It that happened. Recoveries have happened though. So everyone lived, and it's all okay. So
how's their relationship? That's the important thing.
Like, I think
how's it gonna go from
they
here?
They mended. Just no more spin class is all. Just no more spin class for them. Everything else is fine. Last night you did have, so the way they're doing this, right, is the quarterfinals between Philly and Boston and London and LA Gladiators, best of three. So the way Blizzard is doing this is they had both game ones for both series last night. on TV, by the way, which we'll get into in just a second. And now for tomorrow is game two and a potential game three for Philly and Boston. And on Saturday, it's the same for London and Gladiators. I don't really understand this because I think in the perfect world, Blizzard hopes that Boston will beat Philly tomorrow and then they can go into the game three. But if Philly beats Boston, then they win 2-0, and it's kind of very anticlimactic of a best of three series to break it up the way they did. So
yeah,
I don't really get it.
They could have knocked that out. I mean, they could have done Boston and Philadelphia, and they did this during the season on weekdays where they played early games, right? Like around like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they could have knocked that whole series out in just one day. Then today could have been, you know, London and LA all out one day. Then you know what everything's going to be come semifinals.
Yeah,
it's
as they reseed the semis.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just strange.
Seems like a lot of work just to do one game.
Just a lot of production.
A lot of work. Yeah.
You're going to go fill up the stadium, and then there could be one game. That's it.
And like, how long is, you know, what'd you say an average game is going?
Well, both games combined, both best of fives, was like 4 hours. It took 4 hours to do both of those games.
So one game, you would say maybe 2 hours.
2 hours.
Which I think is normal. About a match in Overwatch League typically took about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So
okay. So it's not a bad amount of time from a network standpoint, especially like, you know, I know we'll get into this more, but the TV side of it. How much can you, you know, how much
market around it, sell advertisement? It's true. And we're bringing it up. Overwatch League did announce just yesterday that they announced a new TV deal for the playoffs and for season two. I always get excited when I hear esports is on TV, even though I have moved on. I'm not. It's cool because I know that means that money is paying attention and corporate America is paying attention to esports, and I love that. But as far as it going on TV, it's almost weird. Like in today's world, I feel like that's almost like a lateral movement at this point, right? Like,
what do you mean by lateral?
Because streaming is so much more popular within the gaming world to where putting it on TV, you're really trying to see if a new audience is going to come in. Because as somebody that watches on stream, I'm on my computer all the time. So even now, knowing it's on TV, it's like, well, if I'm on my computer, I'm probably still going to watch
it. That was exactly my point. Like, I think it's cool that they got TV because, again, that means that someone with
TV
money is paying attention.
It's
TV money, right, which is huge. But for me personally, it's a lot of work sitting on my couch.
I will say,
computer.
I will say the idea of TV is just better for me from this point. Tim, you know, I think it was the first Overwatch party that we went to at that bar. I forget what the name of the bar, the one that they had like three different bars involved.
Yeah.
For the fuel.
Something
like that. The stream kept dying. Like they were trying to, I guess they were, you know, trying to get it spread out to several different areas, and it was like constantly buffering. And it's just like, come on. I'm missing a lot of action here because like there's a computer effing up. You know, I just don't feel like you would get that as much with TV. Like it's maybe just cleaner.
You shouldn't get that with stream though either, right? Like you really shouldn't. If it's done right, you shouldn't run into those issues. Like how many times we're probably watching something on stream daily, would you say? You know, just on average, are we all maybe turning some sort of stream on during the day? It's rare that you run into those issues, not counting tech delays like you see in Counter-Strike and stuff, but an actual stream video quality issue is a pretty rare circumstance. I feel that it happens.
Unless it's on Facebook.
I feel like there's been a couple of ESL events on the CSGO side where streams went down. It was like a B stream, you know, when they had the like an A and B going
on
at the same time.
The new B stream
we
referred to
that
as Facebook.
Right? Wasn't it the Blast series? That like their C stream
was
really messed up. But I mean, to both your points, yes. You see it happen a lot less when it involves a TV crew, but you also don't see it as much like on stream to to I think really be a concern. My take is like, I don't, this is just, this is a zero part of a concern for it, but I'm kind of curious to see how the presentation goes on TV. Brett, I know you said you watched it on TV yesterday just to kind of see the presentation. Overall, pretty much what you're getting on stream.
Well, yeah, no, I watched the stream when they were introducing the players. Like, I watched the beginning of that. I didn't watch the
match,
the TV broadcast. Yeah, yeah. No, I watched the matches and I watched like the player presentation because I thought maybe they would do something different for playoffs, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's the playoffs. Maybe they're going to do some, you know, grand whatever. But it was pretty
basic.
Pretty much, yeah. It was like Little League football, you know, when you run out in the field, it's like, you know, coming out, Tim Kryaski. It's like you run out, it's like, oh God.
Well, more because, you know, what would we really want them to do though in a perfect scenario? Like, do we have something?
I mean, like, I've seen
fireworks like shooting off or like balloons releasing. Or
I've seen like the Dota the international for Dota, like they had this like these like 3D models.
Let's wait for the grand finals.
I just thought for the playoffs they would do a little something different.
Let's wait for the grand finals before we start comparing things to the international. The international and the quarterfinals for Overwatch League are a bit different. So let's see what they do in New York.
I've already told Alchemist we're counting on you. Don't F this up.
Now, one thing though that was out of the ordinary, and I didn't know this. I could have sworn I read an article on the internet per sources that they were still going to play on the old patch throughout the playoffs. Like, am I high
about
here?
That on the show? I'm pretty sure.
I could have sworn, Brett, did you not remember hearing the same thing?
Yep. We talked about it a few episodes ago.
Okay.
Where they were gonna do just the rest of the season on the
old patch. You know,
the Hanzo Scatter Arrow patch.
Yeah.
Because we were like, oh, that sucks when they're at home. They're not gonna be able to practice on like the build that they need to play on. I remember having that whole conversation. So
I'm gonna blame our sources. Definitely was not our fault. So it's our sources' fault. But it was nice. It was refreshing to see the latest patch being played.
I think
having that Hanzo there, it makes it more exciting, right? Any type of when you add more snipers into the game, it just makes it a lot more edge of the seat worthy, right? But it was pretty cool to see the new patch. I mean,
new Hanzo's trying to bring back like DPS because we thought the days of DPS were going to be just dead. It was going to be a tank and support meta, right?
Well, especially when they introduced Brigetta, which I haven't that one didn't change the game as much as I had thought it was going to. I thought when Brigetta was introduced to the Pro League, it was going to be the end of DPS as we know it, and you're just going to see three support, three tanks for the rest of the season, and it's not going to change. But who would have thought pros played differently than high plat?
Yeah, right.
I mean, not this guy.
Yeah, and you know Philly and Boston, they open it up. I mean, Boston not so much. They didn't really play a Hanzo a whole lot. Mistakes played a little bit, but EQO brought it out, and it was like, wow, okay, all right, game on. This is fun to watch.
So Philly beat Boston 3-1 last night, and now they're playing again tomorrow. I think at what? 6 o'clock?
7 o'clock our time.
Oh,
7
okay.
O'clock
this
Central.
Is specific that I'm looking at. Okay, so 7.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I have doubted Boston ever since Dreamcaster met his demise.
Mm-hmm.
And
they only got better after that.
Yeah. Like, so I mean, I was kind of surprised to see them lose to Philly the way they did. But then again, I'm also really surprised the way Philly has played all year. I mean, going into it, I don't remember our playoff predictions at all. Do you guys?
I was just going to bring that up. I was literally thinking that while we're talking this.
And it's, I mean, all of us missed at least half. Like, there are surprises. Like, I mean, I can think of just a few. You know, there's Uprising and Fusion. And I didn't have the LA Gladiators even close to making the playoffs. I mean, that team is totally different. That goes with a lot of teams because of with contenders, and you got those players playing in contenders and the up-and-comers coming up. like, rosters are changing constantly.
I had to have put Philly, though, in the playoffs. There's no way I went against Carpe. No way.
Well, we all had we all had Fuel in there. Yeah. I know that.
We all had Fuel. Dynasty. We all had Soul.
Dynasty. Yeah, we all had
Soul.
Sure,
we all had Soul.
Didn't y'all both pick Fuel to win, and I picked Soul to win to mix it up?
No, I was the only one who picked Fuel. Yeah.
I think I picked Dynasty to win.
You both picked Dynasty, and I went with a homer pick on Dallas Fuel. But what I meant to say,
not Soul. I meant Fuel.
Yeah, what I meant to say was Fuel in stage four is what that, my real prediction was.
Yeah.
So I was a lot closer than people had thought. No, so I mean it was good, but really honestly, the match that I really want to talk about is the LA Gladiators and London Spitfire game.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the first time ever, and I have been preaching this since day one of Overwatch League, is all we kept seeing were the same cookie cutter builds with the same cookie cutter dive strat, and teams were not being as creative as Overwatch really allows them to be. You know, I mean, Overwatch is Overwatch is a game where you can mix up you don't have to play the meta. I understand that, you know, it might work, but. And I don't want to get too far into this because I want to save this for our season one recap. But teams like, you know, at the lower end of the pool, and I'll bring up Dallas Fuel. When they knew that they were struggling with a dive meta, they never bothered to mix it up, whether it be their own meta or their own strats, right? And the whole reason I bring this up is just to gloat about the LA Galaxy or the... Whoa.
LA Galaxy. Whoa, soccer. Wrong, you're not doing your soccer show, Tim.
Wrong show. My bad. I produce a soccer show on the weekend, so it's got soccer on the brain, man. World Cup, you know? The Gladiators on King's Row finally pulled out a strat that's only going to work once. They will never be able to run that strat again, but they finally pulled out something from a playbook where you were like, huh. That's new.
And then it worked. Like, that's the best part.
So clean. Yeah. So what they did, if you didn't see it, really, just Google it. You'll find it. On King's Row, they were on attack. London was on defense. So what they ended up doing was taking five of their guys and going through whatever call out you want to call it. I say hotel. I don't know what other people call it out. But you go through that
the
left room, that hotel lobby, and they basically ignore London 100% on the point and basically run towards their spawn. London is sitting on the point thinking, like, what the hell are these guys doing? Like, this doesn't make any sense. All while they're doing that, Surefour was still sitting in spawn as Brigetta. Now, that is a very key aspect to that play that I don't know if anyone's brought up yet, is the fact that he was staying on Brigetta the whole time, because the comp they were running at the moment was the Brigetta comp. And so with you seeing her on, like, if they were hitting tab, right? Like, let's say LA was keeping tabs on them, hitting tab to see what their roster was looking at. You see Brigetta and you're like, okay, Brigetta definitely doesn't play solo. She's got to be around other people for her to be really effective. So they got to all be there. Well, then before they even knew, like, LA decided to dive right onto the point. And as soon as they did that, Surefour switched to Widowmaker, jumped up through the window, and got
Picked him off one by one.
Just like that. Yeah. They had no idea where he was at.
It was definitely insane. And then they pulled right off, you know, right after that, they did the same, kind of the same move they did at the start with, Ryan Lucio, where they boosted to their spawn again and just chased them around and, you know, got that extra time past that choke that a lot of people like to hold. So, that was awesome. But can we talk, like, I want to talk about Surefour. For just a second, you'd mentioned him, you know, with the 3K. He played every game there, but he's been their shining point, because during the season he was getting subbed out a lot for that team, and you just felt like, man, he's like Captain Canada. Like, why is he getting subbed out all the time? But I mean, he showed up huge. I mean,
Monty tweeted out saying that Sherfour should get the award for most improved player of the league.
Definitely. Definitely. I agree wholeheartedly.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with it. He's been improved. But I think... So here's my take on the whole most improved award in any aspect of life, right?
Uh-huh.
Just because you suck at the beginning of the season doesn't mean you should be rewarded for playing at your level at the end. Like, it wasn't like he was supposed to be one of the better DPSs in the league, and at the beginning of the year, it wasn't like the team was misusing him. He was just bad.
It wasn't like he was a sixth man coming off the bench.
Exactly.
That wasn't anything.
Suck is kind of that's a rough word, because I mean, during the dive comp when there was a lot of Tracer being played, Asher was kind of the guy that played Tracer, and he was, you know, he was subbing out a lot with like Silk Thread and Hydration. But now that Tracer is really not, you don't really see her a whole lot anymore. Like, it gave him room to be just like this beast on Widowmaker, and you know, Soldier, and you know, that kind of that flex player that can play pretty much anything. So I mean, the change of meta really helped him, but I wouldn't say that he was terrible during the season.
But he was playing under his level. He was playing under his level.
Yeah, I mean, if he was playing up to like World Cup level, he would be.
When
playing.
I think of like someone like a most improved, I think of someone like Siegel, where he was still playing really good at being like an off-brand DPS at the beginning of the year, but he wasn't getting enough playtime, and he ended up changing the way he played. He changed the heroes. He turned into an off-tank by the end of the season, and he was good. That he wasn't like a, well, he's got a lot to work on and everything. Yeah. Like that first game he played D.Va, I was like, all right, there's a few mistakes, a few mental mistakes that he did. But for the most part, that dude improved from not being a tank at all to being one of the best off tanks in the league towards the end.
I mean, he's a legendary DPS character, you know, like player. Like, he's known as being a DPS, and like making that move. I mean, it's a totally different role, and I'd agree with you. I could see him, but I guess they're not going to choose somebody that was on a team that was like third from the bottom of the table.
No, it's not the flashy thing, right? You're never going to give MVP to someone who didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah,
I hope it goes more to a DPS based game though, versus having like the tanky support type play style. It's just more fun.
It is
to watch something about watching somebody with a sniper rifle or watching a Tracer run around, or you know, just I don't know. That's how I look at games generally. I'm not looking at the center, I'm looking at the point guard. You know what I'm saying? I'm not looking at the lineman, I'm looking at the quarterback.
I think
so
Blizzard
just,
knows it too. It's
come around to that. You don't see dive as much, and Brigetta is not being really played as much with the triple tank. So
There's so many cool characters in Overwatch, right? Like, there's so many fun characters when you play the game as a casual, at least. There's so many characters to pick and choose, and you kind of see the same grouping of players consistently being picked over and over.
That's why I said at the beginning is like I like that the fact that Hanzo is relevant again, because you've added another skilled sniper in the game. You know, say what you want about Hanzo. Yes, his hitboxes can be like a tree trunk sometimes, but it's still, you can get the Hanzo with the crazy ass headshot or
from
whatever
the viewing
trick
perspective
play.
It's a lot more fun to watch him doing what he's doing than a tank jumping in
like a Brigetta just swinging a hammer.
It's easier to understand kill. A dude sitting with there is some sort of sniper is just easier to follow for anybody, you know.
So who do you have then going forward in the quarters? Because realistically, I mean, it's we're going to know by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, just with Boston and Philly, I'm kind of still up in the air, because it took EQO and Carpe just being out of their mind insane to beat Uprising. I felt like the Uprising, the matches were a little bit maybe closer than what the result was. So I feel like maybe the Uprising can kind of turn it around. So I'm still going to go with the Uprising. A reverse sweep there. And then with LA, just the way they looked, I mean, it just felt like they were just clicking on all cylinders. It wasn't just like one or two players that were just, you know, carrying the team. It was a team effort. So I'll take LA in that London series to go on to the quarterfinals to play somebody. We don't know.
I think Philly will win. I think Philly will take it out. Yeah, because they're going to reshuffle the seeds. I think Philly will beat Boston, and I think LA is going to beat London just for how they were playing. I think it's going to be a letdown.
You do know London is seed 9, right?
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. This is a little weird for me right now. I'm having a hard time.
Ooh.
I don't know. I mean,
you're not wrong.
You know what? Let's try this again. Tim, what are your picks for this week?
I think Philly's going to beat Boston. I think you're going to see a disappointing one game tomorrow, and it's going to be over. Mm-hmm.
I actually agree with that one as well.
Mm-hmm. And then I've ran the numbers. LA looked good. They got some drama going on their roster. We didn't even get to talk about Fisher. Maybe we'll talk about him super quick before we get into CSGO. But I think this will be TCR's lock of the quarterfinals. London, 2-1. Easiest best of three series that they have ever played.
I'll be honest with you. That's a terrible pick. I'm going to go with the Gladiators on the sweep here.
Dang.
And then the fusion to sweep it on the other side. So double sweep. We're bringing out the brooms on this one.
No way London loses this series. They will harness the power of Cloud9 and carry them on to victory. And then their roster will blow up at the end of the season.
SK was from LA, Los Angeles, Gladiators in LA, C9's Kryptonite, been the Brazilians, taking the Gladiators here. All went full circle on you.
There we go. Bringing it back to Counter-Strike. And before we get to Counter-Strike, real quick, like, let's not spend too much time on it because I feel like it's somewhat irrelevant news. Well, I mean, but if there's any time that I can bring up that Slasher was wrong on the podcast, make sure I do it every time I get a chance. Like, as a listener, your job is to, every time Slasher is wrong, you just tag at the center ring so I know. And we'll bring it up on the next show.
You got this thing against him, so let's go into this for a second because I'm curious a little bit. What is going on with you and Slasher here?
I just think that he's a volume shooter. You know, he is going to tweet a lot. He's going to say there's a lot of breaking news and rumors, and you know, he might get some right. He gets most of them wrong, but because he got the one right, he's like, there you go. I feel like he really wants to be involved more with the scene.
Especially Overwatch. That guy is constantly tweeting Overwatch.
And he's just
talking about
how
he plays with the pros and stuff like that, right?
Well, and I think, you know, he's like a mod on the official, well, I say this is the official. I don't know if it's the official, but there's like a giant Overwatch Discord with all the pros in it and everything there.
We are now official as well, which we can get into.
Yes, we can. So, but he's like the owner of that Discord. So I don't know if it's an official one that he's the owner or he started it. My point is, Slasher likes to talk before he confirms anything. And it has been proven multiple times, especially in Overwatch League, that he doesn't know what he's talking about. How many times did he break some news about Dallas and then Mike instantly tweeted out like, no, bro, not true.
But that's also esports journalism, right? Like, esports journalism has kind of gone to crap a little bit because you see that even a lot on the CS side with the Don Hassies, the Decays, the Nels. They throw out whatever they hear right away because they got to be first, right? They got to be first every time. And I also get that part of it, but they're also, like, really okay being wrong, which bothers me. Like, it doesn't sorry, sources were wrong. I got it wrong. And it's almost like as easy as that, which is a little bit unfortunate that that's kind of what the esports.
And I guess it's really not just Slasher. Anytime one of these cocky journalists come out and tries to do a breaking news, if they're wrong, I just get a kick out of it no matter what. Right? Because, you know, when we get breaking news, the one time a year that we do, it gets so overlooked and no one pays attention and it's whatever. And that's fine. I totally get it, right? When, like, only our parents listen to the podcast, I don't expect the news to travel very far.
Wait, your parents do listen?
Yeah, no, man. I feel... Man, well, can they... I mean, I'm 35. They can adopt me, right?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I just want to be loved.
But with Slasher, he recently tweeted out that because Fissure did not start, He did not start. Remix ended up starting for LA, and it was like a big deal because Fisher is like one of the best tanks in the league. He was in the running for MVP.
And it was the day of, right?
The day of. It was like a game time decision. Remix is going to start as tank. So then this blew up that, well, it's a issue. Fisher wants off the team now. Locker room drama, whatever you want to call it. And then Fisher comes out and is like, no, this is what happened. I said that I just think it should be an all Korean speaking team or an all English team. If Remix is playing better, then fine. Let him play. Like, there was no... To me, this is what I think. There might be some lost in translation going on here, but just
which is also probably why he wants the communication barriers to, like, not be there, too. Like,
right.
It makes sense, right?
Like, if it wasn't for teams like Philly or, you know, and LA still has a couple of other Korean-speaking players on their team, I would be like, okay. But, yeah, there's a little... I just don't get Korean players. Tim, you were talking about this earlier today, how they just kind of like shut down.
I just think it's the Korean mentality of
we're sounding a little racist here, guys. Let's pull it back a notch. Can't be all Koreans. Not all Korean. Though I get what you're saying. They're not as confrontational. So they're okay like letting it pass by, in this case, letting somebody else take your place without causing a big fuss about it, right?
And maybe that's where it just kind of like digs at me a little bit, because your team is about to play in the quarterfinals. You're an MVP candidate player. You can't. Well, I mean, if your coach, your team is practicing this strat, like they want to play Reinhardt. Like, hey guys, you know, we think Reinhardt is just going to be the better pick for these three maps, these first three maps that we're playing. Let's work on it. And your best player just comes out and says, yeah, you know, I'm just not really fit for this meta, and, you know, go ahead and let Remix play. I mean, it digs at me just as a competitor, right?
I get that, like, it, but at the same
time, he didn't bench himself, did he? Like, it's not like
basically,
But do we know that? Or are we saying, like, do we know that he bet? It sounds like they were saying, hey, Remix is playing better. We're going to start him. And he was just like, okay, I'm okay with that. It doesn't sound like he went to them and said, hey, I'm sitting myself for the playoffs. Throw Remix in there and let's see how he does.
Yeah, but, you know, he is the best player. But there is some truth to that, Anoush, because Remix, he was a big part of LA making the playoffs when they played against the Dynasty for that last spot. So maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe Remix is just, maybe he's just playing better. But, I mean, I guess, you know, maybe we could just revisit, you know, once more comes out about this, about what's really happened, because, you know, if LA moves on and
then
they play in the semifinals,
no one's going to bring this up.
Are they going to sit again?
People are going to be like, this is a genius move, right? This is my thing, is I think we've seen it with the, not all Koreans, most Koreans, 99% of Koreans have the mentality that, you know, they don't have, like, they really take it on themselves of, hey, if I'm not playing well, I'm going to pull myself out, right? If I'm affecting the team in a negative way, I'm out. And it's not like a give up mood. It's just they don't want to be a bothersome. And I have no idea if that's like the Korean way or what, but you do typically see it more in the Korean players, where they will swallow their pride and bow out to the better player if they're not feeling it.
Yeah, and there's a sample size already this season, locally here, effect. You know, just kind of like leaving the team, taking a leave, not really, you know, things weren't going well for the team, so he, you know, goes out, goes back to Korea to be with his girlfriend, and, you know, kind of hang out there. And Rascal, too, another local tie to the Fuel, he wasn't, I guess, playing as much, and he wanted to be a bigger part, and he bows out. I want to understand, like, the mentality,
Kim
the
Jong-un?
Competitive mentality.
Look, if you're a Korean and you're listening,
you're on your own.
You know,
if you're a Korean and you're listening, call in, let us know, send us an email, we'll get you on the show. Let's figure this out.
Let's talk about this. Let's sit down.
We're gonna do a culture
make me understand
talk here.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll
easy transition.
As Brett said, revisit the Fissure drama at a later date. But it's also amazing when the player ends up responding to the reporter on Twitter. Just straight up emojis? Calling him out. Slasher tweeted out saying like per sources, blah blah blah. And then you saw Fissure respond to him, yeah, his source is his mind. Or something like that. It's just like, ooh, that does not look good. Not at all. So it's good stuff. Good stuff. Mm. Also, what is good stuff? ESL One Cologne, every year, as we said in the intro of the show, is easily one of, if not the biggest tournament outside of a major every year. I'd say this, Katowice, ESL One New York, maybe it's getting there. You know, there's a few of them.
Dreamhack event here and there. There's a couple. There's a handful. Not too many.
There's a handful, but ESL One Cologne is definitely a staple in the Counter-Strike world, and it's looked at as a very big victory if you get it. So that just happened here. Lots of things to discuss. Liquid completely not showing up whatsoever, getting last place. Now there's rumors that... Anuj, how do you want to do this? I don't want to ruin any setups that you got.
No, I mean, we could start from the bottom and just work our way up, and it kind of makes sense because we're going to run into a lot of these teams at the bottom who are obviously involved.
The thing is, there are a lot of roster rumors going around in Counter-Strike now, and you really can't talk about their performances at ESL One Cologne without also bringing up the possible roster moves that are going to come. So we're going to be jumping
Liquid
around.
Liquid tied for last. I'm obviously just bombed out of the tournament. They just did not look good in the tournament at all. With them, they're running into the issue with them is they looked so good not that long ago, right? Like Liquid was playing really well, and it's unfortunate that it just hasn't gelled into what they thought it would be with Taco. I don't know if this is a one-off tournament, you know, where I feel like they need to panic, which I feel like is what's happening a little bit internally right now, because the rumor's a pretty big rumor. It's not even like something minor. They're talking about bringing on ColdZera potentially from Immortals or Made in Brazil to possibly be playing with Taco. And that causes a whole ripple effect because obviously you got to get a replacement for MIBR. Liquid playing, you know, having ColdZera, I think, is a fascinating thing. I mean, wouldn't y'all agree if you could see Cold playing with Taco? There's known issues between Cold and Fur and Fallen. Their mentality towards how the game should be played is different. And I think Taco played a lot of that middleman.
That buffer.
They were good and it worked. And Taco was an amazing support player, never got the credit that he deserved. And eventually when he got replaced, you never saw them hit their stride. I mean, they haven't hit their stride since Taco left.
No. No, I mean, with Stewie joining, which has been how long now? A couple months?
Long enough. In Counter-Strike terms, it's been an eternity.
I mean, how many people are saying, like, oh my God, this is going to put them over the top? You just got one of the best players in the game to join one of the best teams. And It's completely gone the opposite direction for him. With ColdZera, I always say ColdZera.
ColdZera.
With him wanting to leave the team, who are they talking about on Liquid? Naf?
No. Man, I actually don't even know who they're talking about possibly replacing him.
Nitro's the op, so ColdZera replaces Nitro as op?
Nitro is off?
Yeah, and it'd be weird because he was also calling for them most recently. So I really don't know what their plan is. I think if you can add a talent like ColdZera, you make it work out, right? Whoever it needs to be. I think the only untouchable on that team right now would...
Twist and Allege.
I guess, really.
I'd say Twist, Allege, you know, man.
Twist is so young, and he's been impressive at times. But again, I think if you have an opportunity to get ColdZera, you do what's best for the team. I just don't know who ends up being the caller for them, but I think they're willing to figure it out if you can team ColdZera and Taco back up and you bring ColdZera back to form, which again, he hasn't been in form since Taco has left too. you take the chance and do it. And now what that causes is the rumor mill of C9, your boys, Tarik possibly going to C9. So now, or to MIBR. Yeah, MIBR. So teaming back up with Stewie, poor C9 fans. I can't imagine right now what's going on there. You got a half retired Skadoodle, a Stewie who's gone, and now Tarik potentially going.
If you would have told me that by the time the next major rolled around from them winning in Boston, that Stewie and Tarik is gone, and you know if Tarik leaves, it's only a matter of time till Rush goes, because he did the same thing with Optic, right?
The only difference is Rush can't follow him this time. I'm not saying he followed him last time. They made the move together.
Right. But there's no way that... It's
you can't have a Brazilian team with three Americans on it. That doesn't work. Made in Brazil.
You can't be
made in Brazil-ish, like MBR-ish. Tarik's from
Portland, you know, like it's just not gonna work.
That's what everyone's saying. It could just be made in Brooklyn. It kind of still
works. Still works. Yeah. So I mean, now you have Golden trying. I mean, there's a lot of rumors, and maybe we dive into them.
The one
separately.
One rumor is. Yeah, I mean, we could stay on the Cloud9 page then if you'd like, because I know every time they lose, and you know, almost shame on Skadoodle for not addressing this, but he is such a antisocial, that's not even the right word by definition, but you get what I'm saying, right? He gets very nervous in social settings, or he just doesn't like them.
Doesn't like him, awkward in him, whatever.
Shame, yeah, he's socially awkward, there you go. He is very socially awkward, and I could say this from firsthand experience. The dude is awkward. So amazing Counter-Strike player, though. No offense. No offense.
It was.
Ever since he started the rumor that he was wanting to retire and then came back, every time Cloud9 loses, everybody. So is this the one? Is this the one where Skadoodle's done? Is he going to retire now? Is he going to retire? And it puts, I think, Cloud9 as an organization probably in an awkward spot. Now, maybe they know more than we ever do, right? We're just the dumb, quote-unquote, media talking about this. But it's like every time now Decay has to go out there and say, like, per sources, Skadoodle is definitely not retiring, you know? So that's got to be hard for them when they're trying to build a roster and convince players to come. That's the one big thing, too, that Cloud9, they're not getting the players. Like, Cold is not saying, I want to leave, you know, MIBR and then go to Cloud9. He wants to go to Liquid.
There's more talent there, though, right? There's more raw talent on Liquid than Cloud9 right now. Like, Cloud9 is in a tough spot.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I think what Tim is getting to the point of is this C9's always been known as, like, the NA team, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that players are just overlooking C9 and going
they
straight.
They used to be the NA roster that people wanted to join, but now
the team,
players
right?
players are leaving it left and right. You have one of the star players in the league, let alone especially on Cloud9, who are after every tournament has to answer the question, am I retiring or not? You know?
But see, that's when management should not let the players run this team. The players run this team. Like, it's not like, I don't feel like the roster moves are happening from a management side.
To anyone who argues that, any team that drops a player like 2 weeks after spending $200,000 on them, the players run the team.
The players are running. I mean, and at this point,
management.
Skadoodle has had a negative rating in, like, I don't know, 8 out of his last 11 matches. He hasn't been in form for some time. He wasn't in form prior to the major, really. He lit it up in the major and, you know, helped carry them to that and had a couple of good matches, I believe, right after. But he hasn't been the same. And he hasn't been the same for a long time. You have to do an overhaul at this point, if Tarik's leaving. If Tarik's not leaving, maybe you try and keep the band together a little bit longer. Who knows? Maybe you get Stewie to come back somehow or something and try and work that out. But Skadoodle is a big part of the problem, and I don't think teams want to go play with an aging superstar like you see in every other sport, right? You don't want to go to play with the 35-year-old that's about to retire. You want to go to the 28-year-old young stud who you got maybe 4 or 5 years with to win a championship. And so I think management needs to step in and make the changes here. And I would, you know, if I were them, I would look to replace a Skadoodle again. I've said it 1,000 times with the Nifty or a Cirque. Bring either one of them over, possibly even sign a Narte who's from, you know, NRG. Ethan been playing really well for them. He's been consistent in the scene for a long time. But they're not going to win anything with this roster. Like, if anyone's sitting here thinking that they truly have a chance, at least when they won the major, you saw 5 players with a lot of real potential, right? And if they played well, they really had something there, and they proved it.
Showed, yeah, if the stars aligned, Cloud9 could be a top 5 team. And I mean, I don't think anyone was saying they could win the major except for this guy right here.
If the stars align right now, they're not even a top 10 team.
I was going to say, this is if the stars align, they might make it out of a group stage. Maybe make it out of a group stage. So, but again, I kind of agree with you, Anuj. It's like, as much as it would suck, I think from a player's perspective, as long as this cloud of Skadoodle retiring anytime they have a bad day is over the team, I think you're having other players look at that and say, dude, that's an unstable situation. Why am I going to get involved?
Something's not right. Yeah, like why is there's too much power associated to the players on that team? Kind of like what, you know, a team I just wanted to bring up real quick, and we don't have to stay on them too long because I know we want to talk about the big boys here, but NIP. The 3 worst performing players.
Is that tough for you to say that NIP is not a big boy?
Okay.
Like that was weird hearing you say out loud that, like, I want to talk about the big boys more, but let's talk about NIP. Like, NIP isn't even a big team anymore.
Look, the three lowest rated players in this event were all from NIP. 2 out of those 3 players, and this is what hurts even more, okay? Is we're talking about GetRight being the lowest rated player in this event with a 0.46 rating, -30 KD. And then you have Forrest with a 0.63 rating, which is, I mean, 0.49 and 0.63 both suck at the end of the day, with a -19 rating. So, I mean, these guys are not even there. That's a whole different set of problems that they got going on there. I don't know what they do to replay. I don't know what they do to fix it other than
replace it up. Like we've been talking about, like, man, this is the core. You know, all they need is, like, you know, Dennis is a good start. All they need is a couple more players around them. You know, they have, but yeah, no, it's, I mean,
a couple
young
more players in
leaving.
CS is a lot, right? Like getting more good players in CS is not, you can get a good player, but I don't know where they go because they've really, I mean, they finished worse than Boot and
team. They've been almost irrelevant as long as VP at this point.
I was about to say,
it's just like,
there.
It's, they've been so irrelevant lately that it's just like, I don't even know what's going on with the team.
They're living on invites right now. Like, that's what it is. They're not qualifying. Let's see what they do for the major here, but the way they're playing.
The contrast between them and VP of 6 months ago is really, you're starting to look at NIP. Man, they were there. Like, wasn't it, IEM Oakland, where they won, and they do it every year, where you're like, oh.
They win Oakland every year. It's like they go to Oakland, they win somehow.
But it makes you think. It makes you think they're turning it around, right? You're going to get some of that NIP magic back. And then all of a sudden, it comes crashing back down to where they just look awful.
Now it makes sense why GetRight cries after each event. now it's starting to make a little. It's like, oh gosh, we got this one. I'm surprised. No, but I think the story of this tournament was obviously the key players here, and it was awesome to see. At the top end, you had top 4. You had FaZe and Astralis finishing 3rd and 4th, which I believe everybody thought was going to be the final. Heading into the quarters or even the semis, I mean, it seemed like a sure shot that you would see a FaZe Astralis matchup again. The 2 best teams in the world right now. FaZe still playing with the stand-in in Croman, which, by the way, Olaf has now announced his return. But ended up being
for real this time.
For real this time, at least for the time being, right?
For right now, at this very
Na'Vi
moment.
Navi and Big ended up being your 1-2 here with Na'Vi winning it. And Big riding
Quick,
the German
give me,
crowd.
Give me 60 seconds on Big's last 6 months.
Okay, you know what? It's actually super impressive here. So Tapson's always been a star, right? Tapson's been a star player, a top 10 player in the world for the last year on Big. Got B, 1.6 legend. He knows how to call. He just needed the talent around him. The biggest change, and I was a hater on this player for so long. I've been a Twitter follower of his.
Can I guess?
Before he was even at 3K. Who do you think it is?
Smuya.
Smuya, dude. You, like this.
You've
guy,
talked about him on the show, saying like this guy is trash. I don't know why he's on any troll, team.
Like such a troll on Twitter. But damn, he got an opportunity. He's also got some really crap luck, right? Like LDLC or Epsilon picked him up and then let him go immediately because they went to a Danish lineup right after they signed him. So it was neat to see him get a tier one chance. And man, did he step up. He played so well in this tournament. He's a primary offer for them. He was a number one player in one versus X scenario. So he had the 10 clutch rounds in this tournament for a first major LAN appearance, which was his. He was so, so good. He was going up against, I mean, head-to-head against Guardian. He played really well. The German crowd was going crazy for these guys. I mean, they were rooting them on. And I know in esports, it's hard to tell if a home crowd makes a difference. It did in this event. You could really feel the crowd behind them, and it carried them from round to round to round. They ran into a horse, though, dude. I mean, Navi played so well this tournament. Electronic, in my mind, really should have and could have been the MVP of this tournament. Obviously, it went to Simple, who had the most kills, most opening round kills. I mean, not enough to say about the guy, but Electronic is he was the real deal. They picked him up for a reason, and now he's starting to perform, and you see what that's doing for Navi.
I feel like it wasn't that many shows ago we were talking about Electronic just being like non-existent. Like,
yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Like, where's this guy at? Like, he was supposed to be like this badass player coming from Flipside over to save Navi, and you didn't really see that.
He was MIA. He was, you know, still had a decent rating, but he just wasn't a star, right? And they needed another star to go with Simple. Simple's been a star player on a team before without stars. You saw it on Liquid. He can only take you so far without a number two. Electronic. Man, like, he played so well this tournament. Of all the people, Zeus dropped a 30 bomb to like help them advance in you know, one of these games.
You don't see that a lot.
You don't. He backed it up with like another 28 kill game.
There was another player versus analyst argument on Twitter with that, where Thorn called him out saying that he's not the best individual player, and then that started everything, which
Thorn called him trash, though. Like, the way Thorn talks to some of these guys, man, like,
I don't think anyone is arguing that he's not, right? That was the whole thing of Gambit, when they won the major, was the fact that Zeus put the team on his back and carried them to victory with, like, his inspiration and his motivation and everything. So I think everyone knows that's one of the big reasons you want Zeus on the team. It's not for his, like, crazy ass plays. He's not gonna drop the ace on you, right?
He keeps the team, hopefully keeps them level-headed, and he's got a major under his belt. Like, I mean, you can't ask for much more than that, and it wasn't with a super team, it was with Gambit. So he's earned his respect. I mean, I get it, he's not the best performer and he hasn't been playing well up until this point, but what does it matter? He played well when it counted in this tournament, and they won, and they looked really good doing it. I'm excited going into the next tournament now. I know, you know, just looking forward, FaZe finally has their squad back. There's so many roster moves in Counter-Strike. I'm hoping by the London Major, you see a little bit of sorting out of rosters of some sort. I don't think you'll see anything happen with the Brazilian team, MIBR, but
because of the roster lock, right?
Because of the roster lock,
if they move one more player, then they're off. They're out of the legendary spot.
If they move one more player, it has to be basically Stewie or Bolt. Like, it can't be one of the core three.
Oh, that's because that was them. Part of the issue with the last major was
Phelps. Bolt
was on the roster, but he was like a bench player because he couldn't play because of Immortals. There's something going on with that major. Yeah.
Phelps ended up playing the major for him. Then they made the switch. I think the same thing will happen here, but. Yeah, I mean, right now we're actually seeing a really good top three. And it'll be fun to, you know, follow a couple different teams. You know, G2 is going to be another one to keep an eye on with their new roster. They didn't look great, but they didn't look horrible. So I don't know what that really tells you. The soccer team is doing better than they are.
One of these days, we don't have to get into it this episode by any means because it's so irrelevant for this discussion. One of these days, I want to tackle what happened to Flipside. Because you look at Na'Vi's success. And two of their biggest players were on Flipside at one point in time with Simple and Electronic. And if you look at the talent that has came out of Flipside,
it is kind of ridiculous
that they are so irrelevant from what they are. I mean, I was looking at Na'Vi's, to Na'Vi's credit, there was a lot of times on this show where I said they should have made roster moves, right? Whether it be to help out Simple or Simple was playing poorly or whatever, never to release, but just, what was it, a couple episodes ago, Simple and who was it? Flamey? Was it Simple and Flamey that were saying they were wanting to leave the team and everything? So
money one of these is days, everything. I want to talk Na'Vi about has that. A ton of money. And
but they're winning now, right? It's amazing how winning a few tournaments can all of a sudden make your roster, even though a month ago we were saying how bad it was. You win a few and it's all of a sudden it's working.
Yeah. They've done okay recently. You know, they got the CSGO Asia Championship and the Star Series season 5 win. So they're going on a little roll, third at ESL Pro League. They're going on a little roll, at least heading into the major. And I think the major is really lining up to see at least a good top-heavy, you know, bracket. We should see some really good 1-2 and 3-4 type matches in the major, which is what you want to see.
Right. And we'll break down the major. The major qualifiers are going on. There are some teams that are big that qualified, but I don't really want to talk about them now because it's not... We will talk about the major and the teams that are qualifying when the full picture is painted, right? No real reason to talk about each individual team qualifying for it. So we'll talk about that in the future, maybe even on a live radio broadcast. That's a tease for when we have more info on that. But for now, let's get into some e-news. E-news, your favorite show segment where we talk about the stories that we just don't have time to get to and or just don't warrant a full-on conversation. Some of this we already talked about. We didn't even talk about the fact that Golden might be joining Cloud9.
He was in a practice room with Valens and Steiko, so Steiko could even potentially be staying on a little bit longer, but yeah.
The next major has been officially announced for Counter-Strike. I think last week we brought up the fact that it was awarded to ESL. So the next question is, okay, where will that be? The answer is Katowice. The major is returning to Katowice. That's all I got.
The more I thought about it, I kind of agreed with you on that. I'm not going to lie.
It would have been nice
to go to a bigger city.
Really looking... I mean, I get that there's history in Katowice, right? I totally get that. I was really hoping, though, for the alternate European-American major, right? And I was really hoping for a West Coast major, whether that been in L.A. or Seattle. I think it would have done wonders. The fact that the TI this year is in Canada, it's not in Seattle this year, I think it would have been really cool to see Valve put the major there, right, to keep that kind of Seattle presence going. But they chose Katowice. We'll see. There has been in the past some crowd issues for one reason or another. So, I mean,
there's
obviously
no
it's a major,
this
though.
Time. So that's a little bit unfortunate.
Snacks will be there. That will kind of be the only Polish...
Yeah.
Right? We'll gotta look. I haven't really looked at the European side of the qualifier, but I wonder who is going to be like the home team there. Speaking of, Complexity and Rogue advanced to the major. So help me here, though, because I haven't been watching the qualifiers as much as I should. When they advance to the major, we're talking about like that big pool of teams now that count as the major, right?
Yeah, so they get sticker money. So you
they
have
get sticker
like
money.
The,
okay.
Yeah, and this is part of the new challenger stage is yes. what it's called. Yes. And then you'll have the new legend stage and then the champion stage. So yes, this is part of the new challenger stage for the major. And this is more sticker money is basically what yeah. it is.
You're it's, just... it, it's a return of the Hiko sticker.
Right?
Hiko is back. Hiko is back. A little cheap to say he's back at a major, though, because
yes,
any it's... other year, you know, we'll just ignore that. We'll ignore the fact that they just...
Complexity stickers, baby.
They just increase that, that pool of teams. But hey, they made it. Good for them. We did not bring this up during Overwatch League talk, but Jonak wins MVP of Season 1, deservingly so. We could give more of our thoughts and opinions on it when we actually break down all the awards and everything there from Season 1 when they announce it, but hard to argue. Hard to argue Jonak getting MVP. And in other esports news, esports awards finalists announced. Did we make it? Were we there? Did the email get... I checked my junk mail. I didn't see anything.
Are we journalists? See, there's like a journalist section, you know? And we're
I don't know. I don't... The listener will have to help us here because I know they have like the write-in, your, you know, whatever. It's too late for that. But I would like to think of us as the esports unsung heroes because we are fighting the good fight, all right? Those journalists, they're paid for. They're bought. Their opinions are bought.
And they like to write. Losers.
We're on the front line fighting the dirty work. And also coming up this weekend, starting tomorrow, MLB, bro.
All right. Yeah, it's almost over, Tim.
I am tired.
Let me do this for you. Let me get you here. MLG New Orleans, Gears and Halo, sharing the event. Dates are going to be July 13th to the 15th. I really wish we watched a little bit more of Gears. But it's a big event for them. It's huge. New Orleans, great city. Should be some fun. You know, hopefully you get a chance to check it out. And then Halo. Halo's
even for Halo, like I said, I think this is a big deal for MLG because it's the first time in a long time that they are doing the combined event, right? For the longest time, they had Halo, and then they had Gears of War, and then they had Call of Duty. And before that, they did combine them all, and that, to me... is what made MLG so great, right? Because you didn't have to dedicate one weekend to one game. You could see all of it, all at one weekend. So pretty
I
awesome.
I get keeping COD separate, but for Gears and Halo makes a little bit...
Yeah, closer. I mean, COD...
Have we heard anything on the new Halo? Kind of off topic.
No. Uh-uh. No, not at all. No. But, I mean, even the thing at E3 was just them showing off an engine, technically, with Master Chief in it as a teaser. But no news for the new Halo. I don't think that's going to be for a something. While now. You probably won't see that until either Microsoft does a conference or maybe even till next E3, because I bet you they announce it as being a release game for the new Xbox.
Maybe make a whole dedicated segment to it then.
And I bet you that's what Microsoft does to finally get back into the console game and hopefully, in their mind, beat Sony. That's a different story, though. So, yes, be sure to watch Halo. And Gears
are we
gonna
be teasing
of War.
Anything today? Huh? What's going on with the podcast? A little tease, or are we bringing it up?
We could bring it up. We could bring it up.
All right.
So tease time. Tease. Do I have like a tease sounder here? We'll do this. For those wondering, TCR. Will be at the Overwatch League Grand Finals. So, there you go. That's the team.
Doing what, Tim? Doing what?
Yes. So let me explain this here. So we are friends with the Dallas Fuel. I think we can call them friends. Maybe even best friends. They're my best friends. I don't know if the feeling's mutual, but I'd like to think it is. So, last Monday, 2 Mondays ago, time feels so slow when your wife is on the edge of death, you know, Anuj? Just, I didn't know if she was going to make it, and time just stood still for me.
And so. Kelly's still waiting her sentencing.
Just kicking it. No, so long story short, because we'll talk about it more. Overwatch, the league, is inviting the show out to the finals. So they are very gracious enough to pay for one of us. So I will be going out to New York for the finals. I will be out there for media day. I'll be talking to the players, owners, executives. I really don't know what's going on that day. I will be there at on Saturday. No, I'll be on Friday matches, Saturdays. So if you are going to the grand finals, be sure and hit us up on Twitter because I will love to meet you. So I don't think I'll be doing too much when I'm up there. First time in New York. I'm pretty stoked. But thank you for Blizzard and the Overwatch League for thinking of us. It's pretty big. Pretty big. If only they actually saw our listener numbers and they realized we only get like 5 per episode. They'd feel real silly. Feel really silly right now.
Worth every penny.
Well, we also, because of that, are doing a live review show for the Overwatch League finals on the ticket, and we are also doing combining that to do a preview of the CSGO Major, so in London. So that's also big news. So keep an eye on Twitter as we release more of that information, though, going forward at the Center Ring. But for now, that is the show. I appreciate you for listening. If you listened all the way through, thank you so much. I love you. If you just skipped around, I love you all the same. It's okay. I do the same thing. We will be back next week talking about the semifinals, excuse me, for the Overwatch League. See what happened with that. I'm sure there'll be some CSGO drama we can get into. Maybe talk some Halo or Gears. I'll assign a Nuge that job. But there you go. Second last. We talked about
is
Gears.
Ninja still playing?
No, thank God. That is true, though. Second last is the one who is our Gears guy on Twitter. He's a listener. He likes Gears of War. We will bring it up. If you ask, we will bring it up. But until next week, for Nuge, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see ya.